And how sweet it is. Now, there's no taste like the taste of victory. Calvary spells victory. God has a contract with the believer for the very best. Death to sin and its destruction. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. God doesn't expect us to struggle with sin any more than he expected Israel to fight with Jericho once a month. God's battle plan is destruction. Read the book of Joshua. God never tells us to reckon as a fact something that is not a fact. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Faith is not what a little Sunday school boy declared it to be, trying to believe something that isn't true. They overcame him. Who is him? It's victory over the devil, mister. Satan is by far the most powerful of the triumvirate. The world, the flesh, the devil. Most succumb to the world and the flesh. They never come to grip with the strength of Satan. The believer under contract is dead unto sin. The love for it has died. It is then that Satan attacks in fury. He is likened to the bird. They descend to snatch the seed. Satan is like that. He was in the garden. Hath God said, the source of faith is the word, and Satan would cut that source. He is depicted as a serpent. This is a picture of defeat. His venom blinds. Earthlings are not conscious of this monstrous lie. He is described as a lion. He terrifies. He produces fear and submission. He is a devourer. He is spoken of as an angel of light. He dazzles with attraction. He is a counterfeiter. He presents a copy of the original. He says to the victim, this is heaven. He baits the hook. He is called the accuser of the brethren. He is ready to accuse God, the church, the preacher, the deacon, your testimony. He is known as the adversary. He will oppose you. Count on it. He resists every blessing designated for you. He hinders every answer of prayer. He opposes your rights before God. He brings injunctions constantly. He is labeled a dragon. He murders souls. He's cruel. He mutilates. He tramples. He leaves waste and regret. He is called the father of lies. He spawns deception. He markets everything unworthy, cheap, vulgar, false. Now, how can a human being escape the trap? How can I detect the bogus? How can I silence accusation? How can I withstand the glitter? How can I extricate myself from the pit, dig for my feet? John tells me, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb, there are no options. First, under attack, what shall I do? Well, we have a complete Bible record of what it is like. Satan attacked the man from Nazareth. Jesus had just received the witness of his sonship, and Satan attacks. If you can feel the slime, if thou be the Son of God, he would rob Jesus of his perfect confidence in his Father. And this is the most vital and vulnerable cord. Satan goes for the jugular. He slanders recklessly. He fights dirty, far worse than the lowest, most inexcusable politician has ever done. He is an expert in innuendo. He misrepresents. But Calvary will not yield. The old rugged cross withstands every lie, every insult. You will hear his hiss. Can God? Where is now their God? He'll show you that you are abandoned, that you are taking a bad rap, that you're being bamboozled and losing all the fun on a short trip from nowhere to nowhere. Plead the blood. He hates the blood. The blood seals his destruction. His time is limited. Second, when I attack, what should I do? Yes, the Bible tells me to take the offensive. I am not compelled to sit back and take it. I do it by submission to God, by prayer, by intercession, I'm to reach out in the power of God to free the captive the devil holds, that unsaved husband, that wayward daughter, that narcotic, that angry young man. One woman reported in the New Testament cried out, avenge me of mine adversary. That thief had stolen many from a family. Paul exhorts the Ephesians to battle. He advises a threefold equipment. First, be strong in the Lord. Jesus is the victor. Jesus has sent his spirit to indwell us and manifest that victory in and through us. Second, be strong in the power of his might. The muscle of Jesus is everywhere. It is stronger than government. It is stronger than the military or the court. Third, put on the whole armor of God. I must remember that I move in a world system and that this planet is occupied by the enemy. There are powers of darkness. Paul warns, above all, take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. The devil will hurl everything he has at us. Satan will do his best to burn us. Calvary quenches, it smothers the flame. Calvary covers from the heat of the attack. Paul tells where the battle is fought, praying always with all prayer. The intercessor will meet him. The intercessor has taken the initiative. The intercessor is attacking. The intercessor knows the conflict. It becomes a deadly hand-to-hand fight. And you fight. I repeat, you fight. You fight your way through the silence of God, through the inability to break through interruptions, through persuasion that you're not getting anywhere. These are the fiery darts, and they must be quenched. The blood does that. Plead the blood, lady. Hold up the fact of Calvary. There's no argument that can prevail. Calvary covers every accusation. Like Abel of old, offer the better sacrifice. His blood avails. Speak it, sing it, believe it. Present it before God. Press this fact relentlessly against Satan, and he will flee from you. Oh, what a glorious experience. Now there is victory over Satan's system, over his kingdom. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world hath been crucified to me, and I unto the world. The apostle tells me that Christ died that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You want deliverance, mister? Does lust, sorcery, glamour, idolatry sicken you? There is victory. You need not be plundered, sucked in, molested, damned. You can taste reality and cling to reality. The cross need not be dimmed. That victory need never be hidden in fog. That power need never be in doubt. You need not drown in the corruption that is in the world through lust. Your desires can be positive and they can be clean. How do you and I implement this victory? John says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in what? It is faith in the crucified one. Glory in his victory, sir. Promote Calvary. It cancels every undertow of sin upon you. Look at Calvary, and you'll see this pretense for what it is. Fame, name, frolic, meaninglessness, stupidity. It is something dying. You see that you clutch a corpse. The struggle is over when you head toward Calvary. There's victory over the final enemy, death. Through death to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is Satan's citadel. His darkest is the valley of the shadow. And you and I must move toward it, move through it. His throne is there, sir. It is the seat of his authority. There's no place where victory is sweeter than the believer's experience with death. The deathbed scenes of these victors are glorious. They have fought a good fight. There is praise and gladness and the shout of triumph. Faith in the blood prevails. The scene of death illuminates it. The ring of truth shatters Satan's lie. There is home. There is meaning forever. There is reunion. One of the fiercest conflicts of all comes testimony of truth. Satan opposes. He will summon pain. He will summon every known physical distress. But the saint defies him. He calls the devil for what he is, malignant, the enemy of God and man. And there is contest. But there is victory. Watch the Christians die, sinner. I want my last end to be like his. Not the drunkard, not the murderer. It is said of John Evans, a British soldier and a Methodist believer, that both his legs were ripped off by a shell, and he was laid across some artillery to die. And as long as Soldier Evans could speak, he was praising God with joyful lips. Now that's dying in victory. That's different than dying in rage and cursing and screaming oaths against a God you defy and cannot reach. John Wesley met the adversary in his stronghold. He said, I, the chief of sinners, am. But Jesus died for me. That'll take you through, mister. The blood is your victory. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Yes, he's the author and the finisher of my faith. He has purchased victory for me, and that is the way to live. That's the way to die. Our quartet so often sang, where can I go but to the Lord? I feel that way in the meeting. I know a crowd of you feel the same way. So here we are at the long, long altar. And so many are coming. And we'll wait another 10 seconds. Michael Bennett Romeo loves the long, long altar as it reaches him at Augusta, Michigan. He says, the touch I received changed my entire life. I enjoy a calmness I've never known. Now I find fulfillment in praying for others. And Mrs. Louise Peterson finds the long, long altar reaching her at Rutland, Vermont. She says, for 50 years, I was a member of her religious body and never knew a living and ministering Christ. Now I've met Jesus and welcomed the Holy Spirit. I simply discarded all the old reading matter. I'm in a nursing home, but Jesus is so real. And Mrs. W.B. Brooks, O'Leary, Prince Edward Island, Canada, loves this glorious fellowship. She says, our daughter's so much better. Jesus has stepped in and taken charge medically, and we feel one with you everywhere on earth as we enjoy these precious moments in his presence. And so I'm praying with you. I feel your adoration and petition with our Lord. Jesus, our victorious God, we sound thy praises. We set thee forth as the Holy Spirit induces us, as the only begotten Son of God, Redeemer, Messiah. It is the power of thy shed blood that makes victory possible. We are bought back. We are heirs. We thank thee for the family of God. We've been adopted. We rejoice in the strength we have from thee. I pray for all evangelists. These thy traveling servants exist by free will offerings. I pray their needs shall be supplied. Grant them invitation, hospitality, and breakthrough that will fill the church. I pray for those who labor in kitchens. These provide food by standing over hot ovens and facing endless sequence of meals. Visit these kitchens as thou didst once visit Martha's kitchen. Bless the thousands who now kneel with me at the long, long altar. I pray this week will hurry us toward thy second coming. So Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus is so close. He's with us to confirm with signs following. What sign is there now to observe? He marks his presence with us and builds faith. And I discern through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that a dear friend hesitating and needing direction and clearness has been wondering whether or not to take a trip. He's spent the time away from home in the office. Whether or not the journey will accomplish the purpose have confused this friend. Suddenly, right now, the decision is clear. There cannot be a further moment of doubt. God has spoken to you. It is like a burst of sunlight. It is a real experience, and I'm so glad for you. Please thank our Lord and tell others about the shepherd care of Jesus. The meeting never adjourns. This ministry wraps itself around you day and night. You feel loved and wanted because Jesus is the personality we lift and serve. He is scheduled for a second residence on this planet. And I'm glad I'm a part of the welcoming committee. Join with me as a fellow believer. The world system is soon to be stunned because the dead in Christ shall rise. The great disappearance will take place so quickly, there'll be no time for consultation. If you're ready, that's it. And you can be if you trust the Holy Spirit. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.